Today we'll kind of look at our gospel reading and of the barriers that we sometimes put up. Boundaries are something we understand well. We're taught that we may go just so far and no further. Trespassing signs limit access. Traffic indicators set speeds and give directions and other warnings. And we have scientists who seek to define the bounds of reality and to set limits on divine interventions. In many ways, human life is governed by established limitations, by lines that we have drawn. To cross them can often bring pain, conflict, or ridicule. These limits are often rigidly set. Today's gospel breaks down those barriers. It crosses the line. It tells of one who dares to transgress our precepts, who ignores our self-imposed realities, who goes beyond what we allow ourselves to hope or permit ourselves to believe. It reveals to us Jesus, who opens doors we had long believed were nailed shut. For our help and health, it's important to note the lines that he crosses and what such action means for all people. We'll look at several boundaries and how Jesus dealt with them.
One of the boundaries, the kinds of people to whom Jesus will respond. Many church people think that a person must know a lot about Jesus in order to come to him and relate to him. They feel that Jesus has something to do only with those who have a close personal relationship with him, who devoutly believe in him, who exercise a good understanding of vital doctrine, and who belong to the correct church. Thus, people tend to set limits on whom Jesus will welcome and to whom he will respond. However, the gospel presents us with two people who approach our Lord with very little knowledge of him, who have mixed feelings about him, and who apparently come to him at least at his last resort. Certainly, these are not the kind of people some might think that Jesus would be interested in. Yet he responds positively to both the Jewish synagogue leader and to the woman whose semi-magical ideas about how to be healed. Why does he respond in this way? Because they come to him. They seek help from him. They are people in need. Their coming gives us evidence of a spark of faith that perhaps this one can and will do something about their needs. They come with a poor understanding, with their religious medals, their good luck charms, their pious observances, but they come. And they get what they expect from Jesus. Our Lord's response to them reveals an openness to those who will come regardless of the completeness of their understanding of him. No matter how shallow their faith, even if they come to him at last hope, unbelievable, I guess it is, especially to those who would impose limits on his love.
Another boundary says there are limits to his help. There are those who say we should not expect too much of Jesus. They believe that many problems are beyond his abilities. They question whether he really can help me cope with my troubled marriage, my wayward child, my alcoholic spouse, or my terminal illness. Maybe I should simply grin and bear it. We tend to think that because a problem is out of our hands, thereby it's out of God's hands. The gospel deals with a question of his ability. The woman came to touch his garment and was healed. While she was wrong about the garment, she was right about the faith. In her trust and hope was saving power, as our Lord revealed to her, "Your faith has made you whole." Jairus also realized the outcome of his request as his daughter was graciously restored to life. When someone asks why Jesus should be troubled with a problem, we should ask, "Who else is there that can really help?" He alone has the words of life in John 6, verse 68. And he is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine in Ephesians 3, verse 20.
Another boundary. He is not to be interrupted. Have you ever been interrupted while you were busy? You know the feeling that can come over you when there is work to be done and along comes someone who loves to bend your ear. There never seems to be any concern that you have other things to do. The disciples were often protective of Jesus' time and sought to limit who could come to him and when. However, Jesus did not allow himself to be governed by ideas and standards imposed by him on others. As he was getting ready to teach, he allowed Jairus to interrupt. On a ways to help Jairus' daughter, he allowed the woman with the flow of blood to interrupt. Perhaps we too have not wanted to bother Jesus. With all the problems in the world, why would he want to hear our little complaints or to deal with our insignificant hurts? But that is just the way it is with him. The sick woman is given some of his time to experience his healing power. And then Jesus will not go on until she has also come to an increased knowledge of the nature of her benefactor. He literally invites interruptions as he reminds all generations, "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's Matthew 11, verse 28. He wants us to come at any time, wherever you may be. He would also like if you could govern our lives in a similar way. Can we adjust our schedules to answer the calls of life and meet the needs of others for our service of love? Jesus saw the people who came to him not as an interference, but as opportunities.
Another boundary, he can't respond to everyone. In our story, we see Jesus individualize his attention. After the woman had reached out to Jesus, she heard him ask, "Who touched me?" The disciples responded in a somewhat sarcastic manner, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" How could one person be singled out in a crowd? But that's exactly what Jesus proceeded to do. He responded to the shy approach of an individual need as surely as a compass needle responds to the magnetic North Pole. It seems preposterous, at least to many, that God would care for one person when there are billions of people in the world. But that's precisely the concern that Jesus demonstrates. He whom the whole world cannot contain makes himself small enough to enter the loneliness of one single sister. He's there for each of us as though there were only one person in need. Jesus saw in the sick woman and sees in each of us one of his Father's children. He wants each of us to know him personally, to see what faith has really grasped. Not the hem of a garment, but the very power of God. He wants us to know what's happening in this relationship with him. So he called out to the woman. Maybe she was scared. "Will Jesus punish me for what I've done?" In touching him, she had contaminated him. That was the rule of that day. If a person was ill and declared socially unclean, anyone the person touched also bore that stigma. And that's just the point. Our uncleanness is traded for his healing and restoration. We who are sick with sin can transfer that illness to Jesus for his healing through forgiveness. He came so that each and every person might be blessed through him. The people of all ages are to learn that there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved.
And another boundary, to be a witness is of little use. How often is it said, "I don't know enough about Jesus to speak of him"? Besides, that's what we pay a preacher for. People also fail to testify because they forget how the Lord has been with them through some very difficult times. I recall a farmer who was seriously injured in a tractor accident. He promised his pastor that if God saved him, he would be in church every Sunday. Well, the miracle occurred, but the every Sunday attendance did not. As Christians, we must ask what happens to people in trouble when we forget what God has done for us and thus fail to tell others. People sometimes need to hear how God has delivered us. It was that kind of report that the woman in our text had heard. and it brought her to the Savior. To increase faith and fulfilled hope, may our lives and actions carry reports of Jesus that would make those who see and hear us eager to begin a journey to Him.
Many will say, there's a point beyond which no one can go. A group of mourners came out to Jesus and told Him He didn't need to bother to come to the house of Jairus because the young girl had died. They implied that this was a boundary that not even this teacher could cross. But Jesus ignored what they had to say. The art of ignoring, as here illustrated by our Lord, can be one of the fine arts of faith. We need to learn this too, for we can get caught up in the fear that Jesus can't go beyond a certain point. We can pay too much attention to the limiters. Jesus reveals that the last word never belongs to His detractors. But people do not give up easily when someone crosses the line. The mourners laughed at the coming of Jesus. They laughed at Him for thinking there could be something else on the other side of death, for believing that He could venture beyond the fixed limits of life. So Jesus threw them out of the house. When faith arrives, doubt must go. Faith must always ignore the rumor that hope has died. Jesus proceeded to the child's bedside, and by the power of the word that resides outside the realm of human bounds, He commanded the little girl to rise, and she did, just as though she'd been asleep. O grave, where is your victory? Those who come to Christ, who take Him seriously enough to cross the line of doubt, peer pressure, personal opinions, and shame, who fear not, but only believe, will hear the healing word of Jesus. Your faith has saved you. This great physician is not just some poetic soul, kind and good. This is God reconciling the world to Himself. The last laugh will be His. There are no boundaries that Jesus will not cross in our behalf. We've seen His power and compassion triumph over hopelessness, fear, ignorance, and death. He comes into the limits of our world and opens up the possibilities beyond those limits. He goes with us, blazes the trail ahead of us, and reaches back to draw us to Himself. He heals along the way and bears the taunts of cynicism and belief, even to the point of His own death on a cross. His constant support, encouragement, and forgiveness enable us to break through the Father and break through to the Father and overcome sin, guilt, and ourselves. He is the one at our deathbed whose words of great promise will bring forth joy beyond all imagination as we hear Him command us to awake from the sleep of death and eat in the house of the Heavenly Father forevermore. He crosses all barriers and carries us safely through hell and death to where the best is yet to be. Amen.